理课堂听 class.com。
Chapter 21 Discussion with a Master. When Julian gave the new letter to Mrs. de Renal, she was very calm.
If this goes wrong, I'll lose everything,
she said.
Take this box of money and hide it in the mountains.
This was the worst time in Mr. de Renal's life. He tried to guess who wrote the letter. Besides his wife,He only had 10 friends. All of them envy me, he thought, especially Mr. Valneau. Can it be that I have no friends to ask for advice? Oh, Falcoz. Falcoz was his childhood friend, but he was not a noble. 10 years ago, Falcoz started a newspaper, but the government took away his license. He asked his old friend for help, but Mr. de Renal refused. Now,Mr. de Renal thought, I have money and power, but still I need him. What can I do? He thought. If I surprise them in bed, I can kill them both. The law is on my side, and I won't go to jail. Mr. de Renal looked at his knife, but the thought of blood frightened him. I can throw them out of my house, but then they'll go to Paris. She'll inherit her aunt's money, and then I'll look like a fool.All my friends in Verrieres will laugh. If only she were dead. No one would laugh at me then. Mrs. de Renal knew her plan had only one chance. She gave her husband the letter and said,
A man gave me this horrible letter today. I demand you send this Mr. Sorel away right now.
Mr. de Renal read the letter. This letter was also on blue paper.And Mr. de Renal was both tired and angry.
You must dismiss Julian,
his wife said.
He's only a worker's son, and he'll find another job. Mr. Valeneau or Mr. de Mangiron might hire him, for example.
You're very stupid, Mr. de Renal yelled. Women don't understand anything.
Mr. de Renal yelled for a long time.But Mrs. de Renal was calm. She was only thinking of Julien. She wanted him to be proud of her.
Send him away for a month. He can stay with his friend in the woods,
she said.
I've never thought he was a good person since he refused to marry Elisa. He would get a fortune because she sometimes meets Mr. Valeneau secretly.
This was surprising.
Ah, said Mr. de Renal.This is interesting.
Mrs. de Renal continued.
Mr. Valeneau even sent me letters before.
Now, Mr. de Renal was even angrier.
Show me these letters. Where are they?
Mr. de Renal found the old letters and made a discovery.
These letters are on the same paper as the second anonymous letter.
He wanted to go and talk to Mr. Valeneau right away, but Mrs. de Renal calmed him down.
Many people in town envy you,
she said.
If you start this new trouble, they will laugh at you.
Mr. de Renal agreed, so he decided not to talk to Mr. Valeneau or Elisa right away. At dinner, Mr. de Renal said to Julien,
You may go to Verrieres for a week.
When Mr. de Renal left, Mrs. de Renal told Julien what she had done.Mrs. de Renal still wanted to see him that night, but Julien thought it was not wise.
I think you don't care about me,
she said.
I'm just worried I will miss you very much, he replied.
Chapter 22 Behavior in 1830 Many rich liberals had offered Father Chelan a home when he had to leave the church, but the priest refused.His 2 rented rooms were full of books. To help his friend, Julien built him a bookcase.
I thought you had turned bad, the priest said happily. I was wrong.
3 days later, the district leader, Mr. de Maugiron, came to visit Julien. Mr. de Maugiron talked for more than an hour about nothing. Finally, he asked Julien to work for a town official and teach his children. the official would give him more money than Mr. de Renal. Julien's reply was perfect. He spoke for a long time and gave respect to Mr. de Renal, devotion to the town of Verrières, and thanks to the district leader. Mr. de Maugiron tried to get a real answer, but Julien was enjoying his practice. Not even a minister has used more words to say less. Mr. de Maugiron left and Julien burst into laughter. He wrote a 9-page letter to Mr. de Renal telling him everything except who made the offer. Mr. de Renal, of course, thought it was Mr. Valenod. The next day, Mr. Valenod invited Julien to dinner. Mr. Valenod was a big man, and he wore lots of gold jewelry. Julien met Mrs. Valenod, who had a face like a man and wore lots of makeup. He saw the house, and Mr. Valenod told him the price of everything. Julien hated everything and everyone he saw. At dinner, a factory owner asked him if he really knew the entire Bible in Latin. A Bible was brought to him, and he performed perfectly. By the end of dinner, many of the wealthy liberals liked him, and he had 4 more invitations to dinner. Dinner made Julien realize that life with Mr. de Renal was not so bad. Mr. de Renal did not make money from the poorhouse, and Mr. de Renal would never tell his guests the price of the wine they drank. Mr. de Renal and the children came to town a few days later. The children missed Julien terribly. They wanted him to come back to the house. While they were talking, Mr. de Renal walked in. He was vain, and he was angry to see his family so happy without him. Mr. Valenod, though, was busy with politics. He had a lot of trouble at the poorhouse since Mr. Appert came and Father Chelan was fired. He got support from the Vicar General, Mr. de Frilair, but now Mr. de Frilair sent him strange instructions. Now his wife, who owned the house, wanted Julien to teach her children. He knew he would have trouble soon with his old protector, Mr. de Renal. Chapter 23. The Problems of a Politician. 2 days later, the family was back in Verrières. Julien noticed Mrs. de Renal was keeping a secret from him. She stopped talking to her husband whenever Julien came near. Julien wondered if she had found a new lover. In these conversations, there was talk of a large house owned by the town. Julien wondered what this meant. He soon saw a poster on a wall. The next day, at 2 o'clock, the house would be for sale. The time was very short. How would all the interested people find out? Julien went to the house for sale and heard 2 people talking. They said that Father Maslon had promised it to a friend for half of its real worth. When Mr. de Renal refused, he was called to the bishop's palace by the vicar general, Mr. de Frilair. Julien did not miss the sale. He listened to others talk about the low price. One man wanted to offer a higher price. His friend warned him, "It won't do any good. Also, you'll make enemies of Father Maslon, Mr. Valenod, the bishop, and the horrible man, de Frilair. Let's stop talking, though. The mayor's spy is here." Julien wanted to punish the man, but the sales time was finished. The salesman gave the house to Mr. de Saint-Giraud for 9 years. The mayor left, and people started talking. "The mayor couldn't stop this. Well, at least he doesn't steal," one said. Another replied, "Doesn't steal? He will whenever someone tells him. Oh, but there's young Sorel over there. Let's go." Julien was angry when he went home. Mrs. de Renal was very sad.
"Did you come from the sale?"
"Yes, madam, and people thought I was the mayor's spy." Mr. de Rênal came in, and he was also very sad. No one spoke at all during dinner. Mr. de Rênal told Julien to follow the children to the house in the country. On the trip, Mrs. de Rênal tried to comfort her husband.
You should be used to it, my dear.
The whole family was quiet that evening. Then one of the children shouted excitedly, "Someone's at the door!" A servant brought a very handsome man into the room.
"Sir, I am Mr. Geronimo. Here is a letter for you from Mr. Bouvarsis at the embassy in Naples. I left only 9 days ago," he said cheerfully.
To Mrs. de Rênal, he said, "Mr. Bouvarsis, your cousin, tells me you know Italian." The Italian man's good humor changed the evening from a sad one into a cheerful one. Mrs. de Rênal insisted on giving him dinner. She wanted to make Julien forget that people thought he was a spy. Mr. Geronimo was a famous singer. He was from a good family and very friendly. It was very rare for French people to be both. After supper, he told delightful stories. At 1 o'clock in the morning, the children were still asking for more stories. The next morning, Mr. and Mrs. de Rênal gave Mr. Geronimo the papers he needed to go to Paris. One thing astonished Julien. The weeks alone in Verrières were a very happy time. He could read, write, and think. Could happiness be this easy? I would not have to work hard. I could marry Elisa, or become Fouquet's partner. Mrs. de Rênal sometimes thought of the happiness that she would feel if she were suddenly not married to Mr. de Rênal. She could marry Julien. He loved her sons more than their own father did. She imagined living in Paris. All of them would be happy. The whole town was not happy, though. They were angry that Julien still lived in Mr. de Rênal's home. Mr. Valenod had found Elisa a job at another house. She then went to both Father Chelan and the new priest and confessed. She told them both about Julien's love for Mrs. de Rênal. Father Chelan called for Julien.
"I'm not asking questions. I demand that in 3 days you leave for the school in Besançon or to your friend Fouquet's house, since he'll give you a job. You must go and not return to Verrières in less than a year."
Mrs. de Rênal knew Julien had to leave, but she was very worried. "He'll forget me when he leaves," she thought. "Someone will love him, and he'll love back." Julien said, "I will leave if they want me to, but 3 days after I leave, I will come back to visit you in the night." Mrs. de Rênal knew then that Julien cared for her. Mr. de Rênal had received another letter, and he decided to challenge Mr. Valenod to a duel. It took Mrs. de Rênal many hours to change his mind. After a long time, she convinced him the best answer was to pay for Julien to go to the school in Besançon. Finally, Mr. de Rênal agreed. 3 days later, Julien came to Mrs. de Rênal's room at night, like he had promised. He was excited, but Mrs. de Rênal could only think one thought. "I am seeing him for the last time." Her body was cold, and she could not return Julien's kisses. When Julien left for Besançon, he could see the church in Verrières for a long way. He looked back many times.
Chapter 24. A Capital City. At last, Julien saw the great black walls of Besançon. "How different it would be," he thought, "if I came to this city as a soldier instead of as a church student." He thought of history as he walked around the city. Fouquet had given him a plain suit, and he was wearing it. He stopped in front of a large cafe. He was very nervous, but he finally entered. The room was full of smoke. He was too shy to ask anyone for a cup of coffee.
The girl behind the bar noticed the shy, handsome man and called to him. Julien walked over like a soldier going into battle and dropped his bag on the floor. He decided he needed to be brave, so he said, "Madame, this is the first time in my life I've come to Besançon. I'd like some bread and a cup of coffee. I can pay."
"Sit here, near me,"
she said, and she showed off her figure. Julien sat down, and she gave him a piece of bread. He paused and compared this beautiful girl to Mrs. de Renal. "What's your name?" he asked.
"Amanda Binet."
"I'm called Julien Sorel. I have no friends or family here."
"Oh, I understand,"
she said happily.
"You're here to study law."
"No," he replied. "I'm being sent to the school." Amanda was disappointed and went to get the coffee. When Amanda came back, Julien asked her to hold his normal clothes.
"I can't take them now, but you can send them to me,"
she said. Julien looked into her eyes and said suddenly, "I feel I love you, Amanda." Just then her boyfriend came into the cafe.
"You have to go right now,"
she said.
"But pay before you go."
Julien stood outside the cafe for an hour. He had just come to Besançon, and he already felt like a failure. He found another inn and put his extra clothes there. He was afraid to go to the school. Julien thought it would be like a prison. Chapter 25. The School. Julien found the school, but he was nervous again. He waited 10 minutes to knock on the door. He told a frightening man he wanted to see Mr. Perard, the master of the school. They went up to a simple room. A poorly dressed man was writing there. Then the man looked at him with terrible eyes.
"Your name?"
he said.
"Julien Sorel." "You're very late."
Julien could not look at the eyes again, and he fell to the ground. When Julien woke up, the man said,
"You were recommended to me by Father Chelan. He was the best priest in the area, and my friend for 30 years.
"Ah, so you are Mr. Pirard," Julien said.
"Yes. Father Chelan wrote me a short letter about you. He wrote, 'I am sending you Julien Sorel. He is very smart and has a good memory, but I don't know if his faith is true. I ask that you let Julien come to school here. He can take any test you want. I have taught him what I could.'"
"Do you speak Latin?" Father Perard asked him in Latin. Julien answered him in Latin, and they talked for a long time. Father Perard questioned him about religion and was surprised by Julien's knowledge of the Bible. He knew nothing about the church father's writings, though. Julien's mind was very good, and Father Perard decided to allow him to attend the school.
"I don't often allow people to attend my school, but Father Chelan has worked for many years teaching you. This is his reward," Father Perard said. "While you're here, do not join any secret groups, and be careful with your money."
He called the other man and said,
"Take Julien Sorel to room 103.
It was a great honor to get a private room. Julien was also happy with the view. He could see the River Doubs. The day had been very difficult, and Julien fell asleep right away. When he woke up in the morning, he was lying on the floor.